Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61. Featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome, and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. I say that week after week, and nobody's challenged me yet, so I'm going to go with it. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, I want to take a half a second to introduce our producer, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin is not only a master at the control board and makes the entire show sound great because I've listened to some of the shows afterwards, but he's also a very accomplished host, and he hosts a number of shows right here on Business Radio X. Kevin, great to see you again this Wednesday.
It's always good to see you. Ricky, how are you doing?
Man, oh man, I tell you, it's been rough. It's been rough.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm going way too fast. I've got to slow down. I know that I'm going too fast. I realized this morning, I noticed that my gums appear to be shrinking. I finally took a chance to really take a good look, and I've been brushing my teeth with Preparation H. And that's probably got something to do with it. But
yeah, you might have to slow down just a tad bit.
I got to slow down a little bit.
Take a deep breath.
Serenity now. We do have a great show today, and I want to introduce our guest. I'm going to let them tell you a little bit about themselves, but I'm really excited about today's show on multiple levels. Our goal for Booth 61 is to build community, and we want to allow the rising tide to lift all boats, and we have a great community. And my two guests today have been doing that for quite some time. If you've been in and around the HR community or the technology community for the last 10, 15 years, and you don't know Tom, Dara, or Tila Jackson, you have not actually been around the HR community or any other community in this area for the last 10 to 12 years. Tom and Tila are both leaders in our industry. Both have held numerous elected positions in various trade associations. I think Tila is the incoming SHRM president, if I recall right. Tom has helped start a few of these associations, and we're going to discuss that a little bit later. I want to begin by apologizing to my listening audience for my first joke and for the ones that probably will go on for the next hour. You see, Tom and I are a little too familiar with one another. We've been friends for quite some time, and I respect Tom a great deal. He is a dear brother and someone that has just been a great success story. But we also, like Lee Cantor, the owner of Business Radio X, are graduates of the Jeff Justice Comedy School. Jeff, by the way, will be my guest in a few weeks to talk about corporate comedy. So Tom and I will do our best to keep each other entertained, and we hope that in the process we don't bore you to death or cause you to turn this off. But we ought to have a little fun in the process. By the way, Tom, I am so glad to see you back in men's clothing.
Well, thanks again for letting me borrow.
It couldn't be like this for the next several hours. Help me, Tila. Help me.
I will jump in where I can.
Tom and Tila.
Thank you so much.
Tom and Tila, welcome to Booth 61.
Thank you, Ricky. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to spending some time with you. It's always a pleasure.
With the legend.
The legend, the myth himself, Mr. Ricky Steele.
The myth is true.
Yes.
The legend, not so much. I'm going to throw a couple of questions out or get started with a couple of questions. And since both of you have worked so closely together and we've all three known each other for so long, I'm sure we'll take turns answering them. We'll ask counter questions, and maybe you'll ask me a question because we kind of run in the same circles on a regular basis. But to begin with, I want to set the foundation, and I'd like for each of you to maybe give me your own take on Talent Connections and what Talent Connections is all about, and then Career Spa as well, because I want to hit both aspects of your business, and then throw in maybe 45 seconds on really what's important to you and what you've accomplished. We know that I mentioned in the preview to the show, Tom is a Notre Dame graduate, and I guess the biggest joke he knows anything about was the BCS game down in Miami, where it was the Notre Dame looked good all up until the kickoff, After the kickoff, they didn't look so good, but the band looked outstanding.
Oh, the band was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And our uniforms were just as clean after the game as they were before the game. So hey,
that takes
we
talent.
Can use them again next year, right?
No question. All right, tell me a little bit about Talent Connections and Career Spa.
Sure. Well, thank you, Ricky, again. So Talent Connections, we are 14 years old, based in Atlanta. We've got a few offices around the country. And what we're known for is helping organizations find top talent. And we primarily focus on that from a human resources standpoint, other executive level positions, and also in the nonprofit world. In fact, we're just kicking off a very large project today that we're very proud of and honored to partner with the American Cancer Society to help them hire about 700 people this year, more so than last year, and kick that off just today. Career Spa, we started 4 years ago, and the point there is to help folks to really connect to first their life purpose and then their career purpose, and how does their career purpose fit in to their life purpose instead of the other way around. So we help companies find talent, we help talent find companies, and we just love to help people. And there's no one better at that than Tila Jackson, who's been with us for almost 8 years now, and we're blessed to have her, and I'll let her share a little more.
Sure. I always say that Talent Connections, we not only work in the community, but we serve the community as well. And, you know, that's certainly spoken from the mentions you had earlier in terms of our involvement in the community, Ricky, and our support of so many initiatives, specifically in the nonprofit space, as well as within professional organizations in the Atlanta marketplace. So we have been around for many years. We love and certainly have a genuine passion about helping people find the right place to work and the right work to do and the work that serves them and their families well in helping their families grow and continue to be successful in their own careers as a person as well as, again, contributing to their families. So it's something that we are thrilled to be doing, and certainly we're very fortunate that the Atlanta market continues to give us a ring from time to time about positions that they have open and available, and we certainly do great work in the technology space as well. I know that this show really has more of a technology audience and spin, and we certainly do quite a bit of work in the technology space. As a matter of fact, we were looking at our numbers some years ago, a couple of years ago, and we realized that many of our clients are in the technology and healthcare space, and many of them are also in the healthcare technology space. So we certainly hit on the technology piece as well.
I know I've run into y'all at Jackson Healthcare a lot. You've had placements out there, and you've helped Dave Pritchard and others over the years there.
We have, and we certainly enjoy the work that we do. And, you know, that healthcare technology space is certainly a thriving space. It's an ever-changing space, an evolving space. So they constantly have needs, and we're certainly happy to be there to support them in those needs.
One of the things you mentioned earlier is that you've now been with Tom about 8 years. Is alcohol helpful? Or do you have to take something a little stronger every day?
Well, I have to drink coffee every morning, and I have to get a good night's rest at night to be ready to work with him the next day.
Coffee and amaretto.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just thinking there must be something extra to be able to deal with Tom all day long.
Well, from time to time, there may be a drop of amaretto.
Nice.
I will appreciate that. Again, 14 years in the business, what have been some of the most interesting changes you've seen over the years? But more importantly, what have you seen in the past 3 or 4 years as we've come out of the recession, both for recruiting for HR personnel, but in the general technology field as well? And you know, throw this one out to both of you.
Well, I'll start in. You know, I think one of the key changes we've seen is, you know, recruiting, the challenge in hiring and recruiting has always been around volume of candidates. But it used to be that the problem was not enough volume. Now there's almost too much, where in many sectors, you know, recruiters and organizations, hiring managers are being overwhelmed with calls, emails because of social media and the internet, et cetera, et cetera. And so now I think the challenge is if you look at hiring on a continuum between a transaction and a relationship, more and more organizations are trying to go toward the transaction and automate everything and use their technology. Well, the reality is we're never going to get to the point where a hiring manager has a need, pushes a button on their laptop, and the next Monday the right person shows up for work. At the end of the day, people go to work for people. And so I think that a real shift, and maybe to some degree in the wrong direction, is that we've gone on the continuum more toward the transaction in hiring, and we need to get back to more on the relationship side.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that a little bit, what we've really seen change specifically in the last 5 to 7 years has been around the skill set for positions that companies are targeting. So years ago, if a company wanted to hire a HR director to focus on their technology group, then they'd go after someone who previously worked in, with a technology group in another, you know, similar size company. And now companies are really looking for what I call the hybrid player. And they're looking for someone who can not only come in and do one thing really well, but someone who can be strategic and be a visionary, but also someone who can do the hands-on work. And that has not happened in the past. So either the position was very strategic or the position was very hands-on. And now you have that hybrid model. And frankly, in many companies, those positions don't exist right now. So that really creates an issue when we're looking to hire for organizations that now have that hybrid model. They really have to look for someone who has the aptitude to be able to do it versus someone who's done it really well in the past. So that has been a tremendous shift just in the type of talent that we're targeting when we're doing great work with these companies as well.
Well, at Hunter Technical Resources, all we do is IT staffing, as you guys, you know, well know. And we're hearing more often than not, when a position gets put on one of the job boards, immediately 300 resumes come in. One guy's a baker. The other person worked at a Jiffy Lube.
A dishwasher.
A dishwasher. And these are all for your director of architecture. And as a result, that makes it a little bit cumbersome. We are in a people business. Our mm-hmm. business is people, as you well know. And I like the analogy I heard recently as someone was saying the Internet is going to replace the recruiting industry, and I think that's such a great fallacy. But it was basically online today, you can buy every instrument known to man for haircutting. You can buy every razor, every comb, brush, anything you want. And yet very few people are doing that or buying that to do their own hair. We're still going to barbers and hairstylists and this, that, and the other because it takes a person, it takes a human being, it's an interaction, and it takes expertise, and most people just don't have it. So I think our jobs are safe for as long as we're going to live and then probably 10 times that as well. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think another thing along those lines, Ricky, is that recruiters over time have always been called on to find candidates. I think more and more it's easier to find people, but harder to assess them. And at the end of the day, you're looking to fill one position with one person, but the ultimate person. So I think the recruiting professionals and even organizations are going to need to get better and better at assessment. You know, candidates are being coached. I mean, we coach them through Career Spa. They're being coached more and more how to get their resume looking good, you know, get dressed right, answer the right questions, you know, look the part. Well, a real problem with interviewing is that people end up hiring the person that interviews the best instead of the person that is best for the job. And so I think that's going to be a real focus in the next decade or so is all around the assessment piece to make sure you're getting the person that's right for the role. And even the role itself has changed. You know, now we see talent on demand. Used to be you'd hire people. The thought was they'd stay there 40 years, get the watch, get the pension, and retire, right? Well, we don't see that anymore. And so now the up-and-coming generations, they want the cool projects. They really don't care who it's for. They just want to do the fun, sexy stuff. And so I think the whole talent on demand, free agent, I think we're just seeing a real shift there in how companies are securing their talent.
Well, one of the other things we've seen at Hunter, and I think if Doug Kling, who runs our recruiting, or Clint Bailey, one of the founders, was here, would be the first to reiterate this, is, as you said, there are lots of people out there, and yet unemployment is down to 7.8, 7.9%. If you looked in pure technology, we're talking about 2%. In some jobs, whether it's a .NET developer or a Java developer or maybe a mobile app developer, it is a negative percentage. There are more openings than there are people qualified. Now, there may be some dishwashers and tree surgeons or what have you that that might apply for those positions. But that creates a real dilemma because, you know, you just can't go through that many resumes, which is why people use, you know, outside services, you know, more and more. Or they bring in kind of great sourcers or recruiters that that augment what they already have, and then they're, I guess, using talent connections to find those individuals.
Absolutely. And that's important, is you have to be true to the process. You can't jumpstart, again, from pushing a button on your laptop and thinking the best person's going to show up on Monday. You've got to be true to the process because, again, the goal is not to just fill the position. It's to fill the position with the ultimate candidate. And that takes a little bit of time, which usually in technology, that's the last thing we want to do is spend time. We want it yesterday. But it sometimes takes time to flush it out and make sure you're getting the ultimate candidate.
And certainly from a pure talent perspective, individuals have really had to learn how to be evolving and transformational in their businesses. And so while we're out looking for talent for these organizations, we're constantly saying, you know, this company is very fast-paced. This company is going through a transformation. This company really needs someone who can turn on a dime if things change. And unfortunately, the talent hasn't quite caught up to the changes that are happening in business. And I really always encourage individuals to be open to the change and embrace the change. And although it's uncomfortable for most, it's the way of life for business now. It's the new normal. And that certainly is a little bit of a challenge when we're looking for talent is really looking for individuals who thrive in change, which is a newer concept as well.
Going back to Clinton Bailey again, one of the founders of our company and a dear friend, I love the way that he puts it, or I've heard him say often that we're in a very tough business because our product is people. We have the only product in the world that can say no, or they can say yes, and an hour before they show up on Monday morning, they or their wife or their husband or spouse says no. So it's a constant change that widgets or golf clubs or automobiles don't have that same ability to change their mind at the last second. It's frustrating.
Absolutely, and the same goes with companies, right? Because here, I mean, this is the beauty of recruiting, is recruiting is not an art, it's not a science, it's insanity is what it is. Right? And the reason is because you have a person who isn't exactly sure what they want and you have a company that isn't exactly sure what they want. You're trying to marry the two together. So we need eHarmony.com. We need Match.com. We need something like that. But those aren't a perfect science. So it's kind of the tap dance, and you try to get closer, and you try to make the best decisions. But it's difficult.
As we've been coming out of this recession, have there been any real surprises, something that you didn't expect more than you've already elaborated about?
I'll tell you the surprise that I've seen is a lot of folks that don't want to move. I mean, we know that 80-some percent of all people are misemployed, meaning that they have a job, go to work every day, but they know in their heart that they're not in the right place. So you would think that when they hear of opportunities, get calls from recruiters and search firms, that they would be ecstatic and they would jump at the opportunity to look somewhere else. And yet we've seen a trend so far that people don't move. They're a little leery right now about leaving at least a job where they've been, they're respected, going somewhere else. And if they go somewhere else and that organization suddenly has a downsizing or the economy turns back down, well, guess what? They're going to be last in, first out. And now we really have a problem on our hands. So that's been a little surprising because we know that pent-up frustration is there. We know I call it the Chinese fire drill, where everybody gets out of the car and changes seats and positions. So we know it's coming. But it's been a little slower in coming than I expected.
Sure. And, you know, the pace of hiring has certainly increased. And in our world, we have seen more planning behind the hiring than we've ever seen before. So we're getting calls from organizations that say, we have this coming down the pipe in 6 months, or we have this coming down the pipe in 3 months, so that we can prepare and really do a great job of partnering with them as they see that talent need coming. Now, we, of course, still have those that call, you know, today, and they needed the position 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago for that matter. But I've seen a lot more talent planning around the needs in an organization. And I really think that the one thing, and I have to put in an HR plug specifically about HRs, HR really has done a great job following the recession of stepping up to the plate and really being the leader in terms of the talent direction, the talent planning, trying to get ahead of some of the things that are coming around the curve than they ever have done in many years. So HR has really done a great job in that respect.
That's good. I've seen a lot of surprises as well as some of the ones you've seen, but I really recently saw a resume for an opportunity at one of the companies we do a lot of business with, and And I could tell the person wasn't qualified, you know, going into it. And as I reviewed the resume, I saw that the as they filled it out, they had the check box of closest relative not living with you. And they answered about 5 miles. And I realized that this individual was probably not really on pace. And the other question was, in case of emergency, who do we call? And the person said, doctor.
Nice.
What in the world is my wife going to do if I'm something wrong with me? Right. So I guess you've seen some of those resumes as well.
One too many.
Yes, we certainly have seen our fair share. But, you know, even the resumes have come a long way since the recession. And people are really putting some thought into their resumes, whereas previously they were just sort of jotting down dots on, you know, frankly, people, I think, used to pull their job description beside their resume and just copy the bullet points. And now they really are thinking about their contribution and their achievements in an organization and putting those to paper and sharing those with people.
One thing we've seen a lot of, and I know that you have, and I've actually spoke about it at the recent TAG HR Recruiting Society meeting, is the disconnect between recruiters who have a hard job to do and the IT manager or director who's trying to hire the individuals, that the two of them aren't connecting. And if you're in our position, it is impossible for us to recruit to a job qualification or a job order that we don't have any information about. And then when we present a candidate and the HR person shares it with the IT manager and gets no feedback, then it's just a vicious cycle. What can we do to break that logjam, or how do you challenge or coach your candidates that are going into an HR position to work on that logjam between the IT director and manager and the hiring needs?
I feel like it's more about understanding each other and where each other's priorities lie and what you're there to accomplish on the front end. That oftentimes, you know, IT professionals, and my husband is one, so I know this very all too well, and he will come to me and say, "Hey, Tila, what do those HR folks do? You know, why do they get paid so much to sit over there and just shuffle papers?" So I truly think that unfortunately, there is still a huge disconnect between IT and HR, just from an understanding of the contribution to the organization perspective. And I think if we could look at it on a continuum of we're both there to serve and you know, bring in profit for the company and serve the mission of the company, then we could get a little bit on the same page. But frankly, it's like having an apple talk to an orange. They're two birds of a different breed. They don't communicate typically in the same exact way. And oftentimes, you know, to talk a little bit about IT, you know, you hear from IT that HR didn't help them with this or HR wasn't fast enough with that. And so I believe it's more about creating a forum where you can start a communication process so that then you can work together to, you know, really get to the ends for the mean.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tila. You know, we've seen the phrase business partner develop in the HR world the last probably 5 years. And I think that's important on the recruiting side. You know, recruiters shouldn't be order takers, right? Get an order, fill the order. It really needs to be a partnership. And so I think that involves a lot of communication on the front end so that the recruiter really understands the need. I think it involves being intimately involved in the process. Too many recruiters, whether they're search firms or in-house recruiters, are just simply doing the pushing of the paperwork. They need to be interviewing in person all the candidates that the hiring manager is also interviewing in person so that they're in a position to be consultative with the hiring manager in terms of, you know, who are we going to hire? We've gotten it down to three candidates or two candidates, but we're only going to hire one. So which one is the optimal one? Why? And, I mean, I've had times in my career, I know Tila has as well, where I've been so close to the hiring manager that they were almost more likely to go with my recommendation than their own gut feel, right? Because they knew that I had kept them out of the ditch before, or every so often they had made a decision despite my recommendation, and it didn't work out. And so I think that's the key, is that relationship building, the communication, but it takes time. You know, and it's got to be a two-way street as well.
Well, if you think about it, just from a pure talent standpoint, right, you think about the IT group, and they have technology needs, and those are ever-evolving and ever-changing. And recruiters, from an IT perspective, in most companies, aren't doing an exceptional job of finding IT leadership, the talent they need very quickly, because of the IT marketplace and the quote-unquote war for talent in that space. So the disconnect happens, in my opinion, because many recruiters, unfortunately, aren't able to quickly provide the talent that the IT leadership needs. And so they say, why do we keep having, you know, why are we forced to deal with HR or recruiting on this need when we can go call a Ricky Steele or a Clint Bailey and have them help us from Hunter Technical Resources, and they get us talent very quickly. So there's always that fight there with IT because in many cases, they do feel like they can get better, faster, sharper talent from, you know, a third party like Hunter Technical Resources or Talent Connections in the HR space. So it's just a constant battle there, and the talent is just not readily available, and it's not as easy to find. So recruiters can look like they're not doing a great job with the technology leadership and partners.
Well, I have to think that evaluating this technology talent is difficult because they can say they can program this or this software this, but that goes above my head. How are you supposed to evaluate if they can actually do what they can, or what's their range on using those kind of technologies?
Absolutely. I mean, you have recruiters out there that have been recruiting in the IT space for many years, and they know those terms just as well as the technology professionals. But then you have others like me who, you know, the candidates are teaching me, you know, what the terminology is and what the technology is. So you do have a mix there.
Well, and that gets back to what I said earlier about assessments. So companies need to slow down just a tad to make sure that they're training their managers on how to interview, conducting behavioral interviews, maybe using some testing, some assessments, even psychologists. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to assess. And then the whole reference checking piece. You know, oftentimes, in fact, the number one channel for hiring people in most companies are through employee referrals. Well, what happens is Jim, who's the, head of IT, recommends Mary and says, oh, I used to work with Mary. She's awesome. Well, guess what happens? Mary pretty much gets hired.
Yeah.
Well, Mary might have been awesome back 5 years ago in that situation, that culture. But today, if we really looked at it, Mary's not a good fit for this. And so too often organizations, hiring managers just jump to the conclusion and, hey, let's get Mary in here. We got a need today. Hope it works out. Well, hope is not a strategy, as we know. Not a good one.
That's no question about it. Well, being in the IT recruiting side, I hear more from Tila's husband and people in his position in companies about the problems they have with their HR department, the problems they have this, that, and the other. I'm sure there's 10 times as many stories from the HR professional side about why the IT hiring manager or director won't give feedback, won't give this, won't give this, that, and the other. Kind of makes me want to bring back Rodney King and why can't we all work together? I kind of put the blame to management of the organization that the two groups have not been brought together and do a outward bound or a hold hands and sing kumbaya or something, because they've got to work together. They may be at different pay grades. They may have different responsibilities. But if they don't mesh, it is bad for the organization.
When you're hitting on the number one challenge in organizations, it's not technology, it's not cash flow, it's not strategy, it's leadership. That's the number one issue in organizations is lack of leadership. And so this is just one symptom of that, is the lack of communication between the hiring authorities and the folks who are helping bring the talent into the organization. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Google is nothing without their talent. I mean, the reason that they're different and better than some others, or Microsoft, or, you know, pick your marquee organization, the thing that makes them different is not their cool logo or their song or their, even their product. But if you look at their product, why is their product different? Because of the people that developed the product. So it really all gets down to talent.
I've got a follow-up question that kind of goes around that same line. But again, I want to remind our listeners that I'm talking to Tom Darrah and Tila Jackson from Career Spa and
Talent Connections.
And at 60 years old, it doesn't come as quick as it used to. But anyway, nonetheless, two real professionals in this area. So give me your take on what advice would you give a CIO for building out his or her team of IT professionals, which I think meshes together with what we've been chatting about for the last 5 or 6 minutes.
I mean, my first thought is to, you know, realize and communicate that hiring is as important as anything they do. You know, it's not the most fun for them. It's not what they signed up to do. It's not what they've been trained to do over the years, but it is as important as anything they do. And so I think if you first communicate that message out to the organization and to the IT team, then you put processes in place, you put steps in place, metrics in place to really track how are you doing from a hiring standpoint. And then ultimately, you have to invest. You know, we're seeing a lot of changes as well in the recruiting world in terms of vendor management systems, you know, recruiting outsourcing. And a lot of these things are really being driven on purely cost savings. And, you know, to me, hiring is one of those times in life where, sure, you want to be smart. You don't want to throw money out the window. But hiring is an investment. And typically with investments, you don't get cheap. Or if you get cheap on the front end, you're going to pay later. And so, you know, my recommendation is to, you know, spend the money and invest and make sure you're getting the top talent. You know, what's the difference between, you know, Tiger Woods and some of the other folks? You know, how much more has he made and brought to the organization? You know, look at any sport. Look at some of these organizations. So you really have to start with the top talent, and that involves an investment.
Well, and I always go by the help me help you theory. So it's really about sitting down and having a conversation between the two leaders, the CIO and the chief HR officer, and sitting down and saying, look, help me help you. And sometimes recruiters, unfortunately, don't approach it with a humble approach, and they approach the situation or the leader as though they're the know-it-all and they know everything, and they're the expert that's sitting down to teach you something. And it's invaluable if you just sit down with the leader and say, you know what, help me help you. And tell me what it is that you need me to do. What are your key focus areas? Many recruiters and HR leaders, if you sit down with them and ask them what are the priorities for their IT group, they can't tell you. They fall silent. It falls on deaf ears. And it's not because the technology group is not sharing that information with the organization. It's just because, unfortunately, the HR recruiting group is approaching it as if they're the expert and they know it all. And I think sometimes if we approach it as a partner and approach it in a humble way and say, well, tell me what you need and help me help you, then it opens the door for a different type of conversation that frankly hasn't happened before.
We kind of answered this, but just elaborate a little bit. Should companies hire and train or pay more and hire someone with skills ready to go? And I know every company looks at this on a daily basis, but, you know, kind of Tom has already alluded to, you know, you have a tendency to get what you pay for in this life. And if you don't pay now, you're going to pay later. And the cost, I've seen a lot of statistics, but what is the cost of a rehire?
You know, it's a good question. I've seen numbers from 70,000 to, you know, 150,000. Some people throw out percentages of a salary. I'm not sure what the right number is, but it's always a big number, and that's the point. And so the cost of a bad hire is significant.
It is. And, you know, when you're looking at the two methods, either bringing someone on and fully training them in an organization or bringing on an experienced professional, I firmly feel like there needs to be a mix. So it is healthy to have a mix of people that have been trained inside of the organization. But while we're talking about this term training people coming in, organizations have really fallen short in that area in recent years, and certainly coming out of the recession. They just aren't as open to bringing someone in and training them on their industry, on their product, on their service, whatever that might be, and the delivery around that in whatever area, whether it's technology or HR, that they're bringing someone on board in. And organizations really need to take time to take a look at that. I recently heard Glenn Cathy, who is a recruiting leader in the Atlanta space, and he's doing some great work, and he recently gave a talk at SourceCon on the fact that he trained his entire staff that he brought on board. He brought on all individuals that were green, and he felt that there was a really strong value because those individuals, because they had not been trained in that area before, they didn't know their limit. And they were able to go much further than some professionals who already have the experience say, oh, well, I can't do that. Nope, I've tried that before. It doesn't work. Well, these guys didn't know what didn't work. And so he would push them to the brink, I mean, to the edge. And they really exceeded his expectation each time he did that. So he certainly is of the mindset that you bring them on and train them. But I am of the mindset that there should be a mix. It's healthy to have a mix.
And I agree with Tila. There needs to be a mix. The one watch out with the training piece, it reminds me of about 1992 when I was the head of recruiting for the consulting division of Price Waterhouse here in Atlanta. And the partners came to me and said, we need to hire some PeopleSoft experts like now. Well, guess what? PeopleSoft was brand new. And there were not any PeopleSoft experts except those who worked for PeopleSoft. And they were an alliance partner, so we couldn't hire those folks. So what we decided to do is to train some of our current employees in PeopleSoft. Well, here's what happened. Was after about a year or so, they were all trained in PeopleSoft, and our competitors and others found out, oh, hey, there's some good folks over there. Well, guess what? They started leaving. Same thing happened with Microsoft Certified Engineers. They got certified, put it on their business card, and started to leave in droves. So, you know, studies have shown that you have to be a little careful with that because you train people the first year or two, this big investment, and then there's a huge fall off sometimes when people start walking. So you have to have the back end of it, and that's the culture, the reward systems, you know, total rewards, and you have to have the, again, leadership to be able to retain the folks. So it's not just about hiring, not just about training, but then there's the whole retention piece to keep the talent that you have.
It's certainly a mix, and you can approach it either way. But, you know, to piggyback on what Tom said and to look at it from a different angle and a different perspective, I have a friend who is over at Turner, and she was one of Turner's first HR interns, Renee White. She does a phenomenal job there.
Shout out to Renee.
Yes, yeah. Shout out. But she has done a phenomenal job there. She was their very first HR intern. She's been there over 15 years now. She's grown in there. She's specifically in HR, but she's grown in their HR group. And frankly, because they trained her on HR and she's been able to grow inside of that one organization, she has risen to the top in terms of the types of leaders that they have. And she's sort of the counterexample of someone who was trained there, and she's been there for many years. And certainly people have tried to recruit her out because she's really, really sharp. But she stayed with the organization for many years, and she's seen as the intellectual bank of knowledge for the HR group because she's been around for so long and she's been there through all the changes and she's been resilient through those changes. So that's a little bit of a different look at it.
This next comment is directed to all of our clients at Hunter Technical Resources and the clients of all of our competitors in the industry. I'm not going to mention the company's name so you can figure out whether it was you or not. It really makes no difference, but it should be you. We received, I think it was last Thursday or Friday, an extensive email about a new hire that began work this past Monday at a client that will go unnamed, but a great client and somebody we're real honored to be doing business with. It was about two or three paragraphs on exactly everything that was going to happen on Monday morning and how detailed, or this is a $150,000, $60,000 a year position, permanent hire, key player in a growing part of the organization. But Martha Inslee, and a shout out to the great Martha Inslee, one of our business development executives, Martha sent several of us the email, and we all looked at it and we all commented back and forth about how wonderful it was, how beautiful it was to see a company doing it right, mm-hmm. really caring about the needs of that person so that when they walked in, they felt like they were part of the family day one. It was an embrace. And then I started thinking, this is sad that we're making this huge a deal out of this. This should be the normal policy of every company. It goes back to what Tom said earlier, is leadership. I want to turn the tables a little bit and get back to Talent Connections. And again, I don't remember being absent-minded, but I had that problem earlier, so I wrote it down. But tell me at Talent Connections, what leadership model do you subscribe to?
Well, the one we subscribe to, we probably fail miserably, but we certainly try to be servant leaders. all of us. It's not just the CEO needs to be the servant leader. It's really every person in the organization. And so what that says is that we're here to serve others. And whether those are our employees, whether they're our clients, whether it's the HR community, the other community in Atlanta, and I've been very proud of many employees that we've had. I think it's 11 years in a row now that we've had an employee serve as a president or EVP of Sherm Atlanta. I've served on the board of TAG for 4 years. Tila is going to be the first African-American female president of Sherm Atlanta, which is a big deal. That's, I think, 40-some presidents we've had over the years. For us, it's about giving back, not because we want to give something to get. It's because we're honored by who we serve and what we do, and, we just love to help people. And every once in a while, we have to make a little money to pay the bills to keep the lights on, but we're just really honored to be a part of this awesome community and serve folks.
Well, and, Tom terms it the servant leadership model, and I term it, it's more of a common term, but it's more of the give back leadership model. You know, we do great work in this community, but Tom and I didn't get here, and Ricky didn't get where he is on our own, right? So I always subscribe to the model of there are many people that saw talent in me and saw the spark in me and saw the professional that I could be, from 10 years ago to now. And they took time out of their day and time out of their schedule and time out of their business to sit down with me to share development tools, tips, to train me in the work that I do now in terms of recruiting. And while I wish I could write a $1 million check to each one of those people, I can't. So the way that I give back to them is by passing it on. So we certainly subscribe to the give back model and to the treat others like you want to be treated. We do the work that we do, and we think about ourselves when we do it. So when we contact a client and talk to them about our needs, we want to service them in a way that we want someone to service us. And we constantly keep that ball rolling and give back in the community through various leadership roles. And frankly, we pull our candidates into projects too. If I'm involved in a nonprofit or Tom's involved in a nonprofit, and I was on the board of the Brian Jordan Foundation. He played for the Atlanta Braves many years ago, and I sent a note out to a lot of our clients and people that I've placed in the past to say we're having a baseball camp. If you know someone in your family that's interested in this baseball camp, send them out. And I showed up that morning, and about five or six of the individuals I placed into roles were there with their grandkid or their niece. And so, we not only want to give back by the work that we do, but the work that we do in the service that we do in the community.
First of all, I'd like to disagree with the first part of Tom's comments, because I believe that Talent Connections does an excellent job of living up to your model. You're servant leaders. You have been as long as I've known you. And as we both learned over the years, golden rule, do unto others, servant leadership wins every single time, whether or not you believe in the biblical principles. Gosh, I hope you do. But whether you believe in the biblical principles or not, servant leadership and treating other people as you would like to be treated wins every single time. What do you recommend to high schoolers and college-age folks and even experienced workers that they should choose or look into technology as a viable business opportunity?
Well, our first thought is, and certainly it is a viable business opportunity, but every person's called differently, and every person's gifted differently. And I think what happens too often is people move too quickly, and they do something that dad did or mom did, or someone will say, oh, go do that, it pays a lot of money, or there are a lot of jobs available in that area. The key thing, though, is to look at life purpose and look at, where are you? What's your legacy going to be? I had the honor to speak at what I think is a great university up in Indiana last year to their first-year MBA students. And what hit me was these students were all about 30 years old. They went summer undergraduate, got some great work experience, and now they're back for their first-year MBA. And I thought, boy, they have been on a resume-building track. And it hit me, it's like, well, when is the legacy building track going to kick in? So I did a little PowerPoint slide on that, and then I spent the next hour or so walking them through some exercises where they came out of it with their one-sentence life purpose statement. And I said, okay, now it's time to start planning your career once you understand what your life purpose stands for. So, I mean, clearly technology, especially in Atlanta, Georgia, is a huge industry. It's only going to exponentially increase, but still there's some people that are right for that and some people that aren't. So I think that's the first step, is to make sure that you're in the right field.
And something else to add to that, I always suggest that high schoolers and college students that are coming out sit down with someone who's already in the profession that they're targeting. So whether they're thinking about three different avenues or 10, frankly, you know, pull out 10 people that you know, that your family members know, sit down with those folks and see what the real deal is. Because many times and oftentimes what you study in school, it certainly helps you as you come out from a theoretical standpoint. But when you get into the real world, it can be a little bit different. And I see this most often with people that are going into law school. They go into law school and they've watched all these TV law shows and they think they have it figured out. And some of them realize that, wow, law is not really my calling. I certainly was very fortunate in that my mother was a director of recruiting as I was growing up as a child. So I was able to watch her and mirror her and help her look through applications and such. But even still, as I was in college, I would sit down with, and I interned in an HR department for Cigna, and was in the recruiting department and started out recruiting call center reps. And that really gave me an idea of the real world. And I still had time at that moment to make a shift if I needed to. So I always say, talk to as many people as you can that are in the real world, that are actually doing the job that you think that you want to do or you feel you've been called to do.
Well, there's no question technology is here to stay.
It's
not a nice to have. It's a mission critical. Anyone that has an aptitude for math or science or statistical data or what have you, and you're in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, begin looking at this as a possibility. Let's shift a little bit over to the more experienced worker that's maybe 40 years old and still hasn't really found themselves. You know, technology, there's a lot of $40,000 and $50,000, $60,000 a year folks who may be in some statistical occupation, but yet could do a little training and move into programming and be at a $100,000 position. But what's more important is what is their true north? I think we shifted to where Career Spa fits in and helping people find their true north. Tell me a little bit about that process.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we work with individuals. It's not a cookie cutter approach. And we really, again, start with life purpose. We look at, what are their skills, their values, their motivations, their potential, and really help them come to the aha. So we use professional coaches, and it's a journey. You know, there's not some form that you can fill out, and at the bottom of it says, oh, you ought to go do this. Even within technology, I mean, how many subsections of technology are there, right? Hundreds. So you can't just even say, oh, I'm going into technology. Okay, well, which area? My wife is a nurse. Same there. There are all kinds of different types of nurses. So what we do is really try to work with each individual and help them see the light. Because most people don't get this. You go to college to be a nurse or an accountant or a programmer. You don't learn how to manage your career. And that is so critical so that you are being intentional about where you're trying to go. There's a famous well-known pastor here in town that once said that your direction more than your intention determines your destination. Well, then you need to know your direction. It starts with where are you heading, because you can't set a plan to get there unless you know where you're trying to get. So that's what we do. We begin with the end in mind, set a plan, help the person understand what their sweet spot looks like, and then build the plan to help them get there. And getting there might be easy. It might be difficult. It might involve more training, more education, you know, time, pay cut, whatever it might be. But if that's truly where they want to get, well, let's start heading there.
Well, and to provide a real life example of someone who transitioned into technology, and I will firmly say I was a naysayer, and I said, "Oh my gosh, well that just can't happen at your age." But my husband was in supply chain and logistics for many, many years, and he made a decision. They outsourced his group, and he was to receive a package, and he thought, "Wow, that's a great opportunity for me to go back to school and now shift over to IT, which he had been talking about doing for 4, 5, 6 years," and I thought, wow, good luck with that. But he did go back to school. He got the training he needed. And frankly, he got a job. You know, it just takes one person to give you that shot. And that one person gave him a shot and saw the aptitude and saw the fact that he would be able to transition into a full-scale technology role. And not only did he land the position, but within about 9 months of being in his first IT role, he was promoted into a senior leadership position within his organization. So it can happen, and it may look a little bleak initially, and frankly, again, I was the naysayer. I was the person that said, wow, this is a terrible time to do this. You know, you've got to support a family, and this is not the time to have a come to Jesus and all of a sudden wake up and say, I want to go into IT. But he has done it. He's been quite successful at it. Again, you know, he received a promotion after being there for 9 months, and he knew that that was his calling. He was very much of the conviction that that was his calling. So go back to school. You know, he talked to people that worked with him in previous organizations who were in IT, you know, learned what I call the real deal. And then he made that step to that transition. And those people told him what attributes of previous jobs he could pull out that could transition into IT. And I will say it's not something that happens easily, but he had gone to school, finished school, and within about 6 weeks, he was a new IT professional at the age of 39. So it can be done.
I don't understand why you would have doubted him. He's obviously brilliant. He married Tila Jackson. I mean, that's the greatest, smartest thing that man ever did his entire life. So good gosh almighty.
I'll cut you the check after the show, Ricky.
No, Lord. Most outplacement sources, career sources, counseling services, resume help, and the whole nine yards, a huge corporation that's doing a downsizing will buy those services, and they'll run 10 or 200 people through there or what have you. If an individual is listening today and they needed help one-on-one but don't have a big corporation or someone to write the check, can they do business with CareerSpa as well?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one differentiator with CareerSpa and some of the big outplacement firms is that we do work with individuals who come to us. I mean, we've never turned anyone down simply because we care for people and we want to help them on the journey. So we work with senior executives all the way down the ladder and all different industries. You know, our calling is to help the least of these and everyone in between. And so, no, we'd love to serve anyone that needs help. Some people just need a tweak to the resume. Some people need an overhaul of their career. And it's a joy to serve each person where they are. And so that's where it's not the cookie cutter approach. It's really understanding where they are, where they want to be, and then help them navigate through that.
And it's very rewarding from our side to watch the light bulb go off. You see people, they're sort of slowly walking into the CareerSpa workshop where they're going to learn all these great things to help them, you know, really get on the path to whatever it is that they want to do next. And as they're sitting there and you're talking to them about different careers and frankly, their peers that are in the room with them in the workshop really help them recognize their achievements, their accomplishments. Many people diminish their own accomplishments and achievements. And I'm not saying you have to get a t-shirt that says, you know, I am the man, but you really want to be able to articulate those accomplishments in a way that it makes the light bulb go off for that business that you're interviewing with or that business leader to say, you know what, I really want to hire that person. And sometimes, you know, specifically in today's market, it's not the perfect fit. It's almost never the perfect fit. But if you can find the person that has the aptitude, the attitude, and the ability to step into that role, then they will do a good job with that. But it's very rewarding for us to do that the work that we do on the CareerSpa side and to really provide that value to people.
I am quite sad. 52 minutes have gone by in what seemed like 5.2 minutes. I would like to have another hour and a half to go forward. You're great friends. I wish I'd have left off a few of my poor attempts at humor because this is just such great information. But as we close, give me just a minute or two each, minute and a half, how to get in contact with you and maybe any last parting thoughts as to encouragement, challenge, whatever, to the people who will be listening. And then most importantly, how to get in touch with you individually, because I believe people will be inspired by what you've shared today and will get in contact with you.
Sure. Well, to find us collectively, you can go to our website, which is talentconnections.net. or careerspa.net, depending on which business you're looking for or considering. And I would encourage you to frankly take a look at both of those and see which one fits your needs. In terms of individually, I can be found at, you can email me at teelajackson@talentconnections.net. My Twitter handle is Teela Jackson, and that's T-E-E-L-A Jackson. And I also blog and have a co-blogger that I blog with at recruiterchicks.com, so you can find me there as well. I am certainly on Facebook and everywhere in between from a social media perspective, and very accessible and reachable, and I can be found on LinkedIn as well.
And I can be found at tomdarrow@talentconnections.net, and that's D-Arrow, so like Clarence Darrow for the older generations out there. Or feel free to call 770-633-5242, and we would love to serve anyone that feels they need help in their career journey. And, Ricky, it's been an honor. Thank you for having us, and I know we have a lot in common. One is that we both performed at the Punchline, and the other is that we have neither one of us have been called back to come and perform again. There's a reason for that.
They changed their number. I tried to call them. And anyway, Tom, Teela, it's been a great blessing. Teela?
Well, I know you also asked for some words of encouragement, and I want to make sure that we share that with the listeners today. And, you know, the word of encouragement is just keep going, keep smiling, and don't give up. Keep pushing, keep accomplishing, and frankly, represent your families in the best way possible with the work that you do each and every day.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Teela. It's been a great blessing. This is Ricky Steele, Hunter Technical Resources. I've finished my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me next week for a fresh cup. And you can listen to past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele on Business Radio X. I always close trying to share a blessing for you, your family, and your business. The blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by, and join us next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61.